From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Ari Snyder with the news on this day in Maine, Thursday, March 6, 2025.
This Day in Maine is made possible in part by Now You're Cooking, celebrating 25 years of selling cookware, kitchen tools, gadgets, and fine wine on historic Front Street in downtown Bath. Open 7 days a week.
The Maine Turnpike Authority is dropping its controversial Gorham Connector project, a proposed four-lane highway that would have run from South Portland through Westbrook and Scarborough to Gorham. Instead, state transportation authorities say they will undertake a comprehensive effort to find ways of easing persistent rush hour traffic in the area. Peter McGuire reports.
Turnpike officials spent more than a dozen years and millions of dollars pursuing a five-mile toll road that would connect Portland's western suburbs to the interstate. Traffic congestion in the area routinely causes backups and spills into residential neighborhoods, creating safety problems. But growing public opposition to the $330 million project led the Turnpike to pause it last year. And now all work has stopped while the state conducts fresh research on the issue, says agency spokesperson Erin Courtney.
We're not doing anything right now to be looking at what those alignments could be. It is going to rely on whatever comes organically through this process. So, yeah, I mean, in a sense, we've abandoned what we were working on. But I don't think it's all for nothing.
The highway plan emerged from a 13-year-old study that found the area needed more road capacity, as well as land use planning and public transportation. In 2017, lawmakers authorized the Turnpike to build a highway. But housing demand, community growth trends, and commuter patterns have changed since then. Dale Dowdy from the Maine Department of Transportation says it's time to update the findings and consider alternatives, including mass transit, walking, and cycling. He says the study could still determine a toll road operated by the Turnpike is needed.
We're really looking for a basket of solutions, multiple solutions, bring the whole toolbox to the table and come up with something.
The connector was dealt a major setback last year when Scarborough town councilors voted overwhelmingly to pull support for the roadway. Town manager Tom Hall agrees it's time for a reset and to reassess regional traffic movement. But he says it's frustrating that no solutions are in sight.
North Scarborough is just gridlocked with traffic in the morning commute and then again in the evening. It's certainly not going to get better on its own.
Opponents of the Turnpike plan, like Miles Smith from Mainers for Smarter Transportation, are cautiously optimistic about the new approach. He'd like to see the legislature repeal authority to build the toll road. But he says updating traffic signals and installing roundabouts could also make a huge difference.
And we might find that if we do those things, we can make the situation 90% better for 10% of the cost and do it without destroying the communities around there.
The department plans to include local stakeholders and the public in its research. It hopes to conclude the work in 2026. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Peter McGuire.
Tens of thousands of federal workers have been fired since President Donald Trump took office, and while an order from an independent federal board Wednesday stirred hope that some may be hired back, there are no guarantees. Patty White spoke with three workers from Maine who have recently been let go from jobs that they say meant much more to them than just a paycheck.
It happened on a day that's usually all about love. But this year, February 14th became known to federal workers as the St. Valentine's Day Massacre. Thousands of probationary employees, people who had been either recently hired or promoted, were given abrupt notice.
The timeline that unfolded for the actual firing of probationary employees was incredibly tight and blisteringly devastating.
We are not using the names of any of the workers interviewed for this story because they fear their comments may have professional or legal consequences. On February 14th, this worker from the Midcoast says she was called into a virtual meeting with hundreds of her colleagues at the National Fish and Wildlife Service. They were told they were terminated effective immediately.
We were told that this was no reflection on us as individuals. This was an order that came from the top. We were the best and brightest that the service had to offer. This is in no way a reflection on our contributions to service mission. They said these words, and you could see the shock on their faces, and you could see that people had been crying.
Her job had been to help protect wildlife refuges from Maine to Virginia. After years in the private sector, she was thrilled to do such meaningful work at a large scale, and she was knee-deep in projects. Suddenly, she had to scramble before being locked out of her computer.
To try to just get any last little threads of work done, and then to say goodbye to the people in the office. It was really tragic and harsh.
She says she had the job for 10 months. Another worker who lives in Portland says she'd been on the job for barely a month when she was fired on February 21st.
I'm away from everyone that I know. My family is back in the Midwest. All of my friends are back in the Midwest. I uprooted my whole life to be here, so I'm going through this process by myself.
She says she moved across the country to Maine to work for the U.S. Department of Agriculture to provide technical assistance to farmers. She applied for the job last fall while she was finishing grad school.
I worked so hard in undergrad and grad school, and I was always like going, always worried about if I was going to get a job, always worried about money. And then I thought that I had finally like reached a degree of stability that I could just take a breath and just be a normal person and enjoy myself.
In her short time on the job, she says she loved it, but her excitement was tempered by a sense of unease in the office as the Trump administration warned of furloughs. Within a few weeks, she saw coworkers get laid off.
It's cruel to walk in every day and open your laptop and not know if you were going to see a letter there.
Then one morning, she opened her laptop and saw the letter in her inbox. It said, based on her performance, her service was no longer in the public interest.
That was incredibly insulting.
A federal watchdog agency found last week that the USDA firings were not based on performance as required. That prompted an independent federal board on Wednesday to order that terminated USDA employees be temporarily reinstated. But even if this federal worker is able to return to her job, she's skeptical it will last. For so long, working in civil service was her goal. Now she says she's soured on it.
The checks and the balances that are supposed to prevent things like this from happening, that we are always taught as Americans, that ensure that people are not discriminated against, that you be terminated fairly, that you're given like a degree of like justice and fairness, all crumbled in a matter of weeks. It's not safe.
We are traumatized.
This former federal worker from Kittery, who was also let go on Valentine's Day, says despite the trauma, she'd go back to her job if given the opportunity.
Because that's how deeply and passionately I feel about the work.
She's a biologist specializing in bats and says she spent 15 years gaining experience in the field so she could one day work in federal civil service. She started at the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service in December.
I just felt such a calling to it, and it was exactly what I hoped that it would be. I felt like I was taking action, and I felt like I was really contributing, and bats are in pretty dire straits right now, especially in the Northeast. And it was just so wonderful to be able to actually feel like I was helping.
Now she's worried that important conservation work will be left unfinished. And she says she and her colleagues will have a hard time finding jobs in the private sector.
Biology is a very competitive field because there is not a lot of money. And a lot of the jobs that were available to us were either with federal agencies or with state agencies that received federal funding. So we have now all been thrown into an already very competitive field or job field with much fewer employment options. And I don't know what we're going to do.
She describes the feeling of what happened as unbearable. And like thousands of other former federal workers, she's wondering who and what will be next. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Patty White.
In a letter to Maine's governor and attorney general, the Trump administration says the state violated federal law by allowing transgender athletes to compete in girls' sports. And as Kevin Miller reports, the administration has now referred the case to the Justice Department.
The notice of violation letter is dated February 25th, just 4 days after the Department of Health and Human Services launched an investigation into Maine's transgender policies. That's also the same day that U.S. Attorney General Pam Bondi warned Maine that the Trump administration would file a lawsuit unless the state complies with an executive order banning transgender athletes from girls' sports. Neither Governor Janet Mills nor Maine Attorney General Aaron Fry commented on the violation letter. However, spokespersons for Mills and Fry say no one from HHS contacted their offices or the Maine Department of Education as part of the investigation. The controversy began last month when a Republican state lawmaker posted pictures on Facebook of a transgender athlete who won a girls' track championship. Those posts went viral, and HHS launched its investigation after Governor Mills and President Trump clashed publicly over Maine's policy. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Kevin Miller.
A coalition of states, including Maine, has notched a legal victory in its effort to prevent the Trump administration from freezing trillions of dollars in federal funding. A federal court in Rhode Island today granted the state's request for a preliminary injunction, blocking the administration from implementing the freeze, according to Maine Attorney General Aaron Fry. The court also ordered the administration to comply with a previous order to unfreeze FEMA funding by next week. Yesterday, a federal judge in Massachusetts ruled in favor of Fry and other attorneys general trying to stop the administration from cutting billions of dollars in health and research funding. Those cuts will remain paused as the case plays out. Last month, Fry joined a separate multi-state lawsuit over billionaire Trump advisor Elon Musk's access to sensitive Treasury Department data. Republican State Representative Lucas Lanigan of Sanford was arraigned yesterday in York County Superior Court on felony assault charges. Lanigan pleaded not guilty to charges of domestic violence assault and aggravated domestic violence assault. Police and prosecutors say he attempted to strangle his wife after she confronted him about having an affair. He has denied the charges and his wife has recanted her statements to police. Prosecutors are still pursuing the case, saying it's common for domestic violence victims to recant. The Maine Democratic Party reiterated its call for Lanigan's resignation. Lanigan won his seat after a recount found that he beat his opponent by a single vote. He faces an ethics probe by the Maine House of Representatives to see if he violated code of conduct rules. Lanigan has refused to step down as a legislator until the case against him is adjudicated. Federal regulators have accepted Brookfield Renewables' plans for improved fish passage on four Kennebec River hydropower dams. But groups pushing to remove the dams say the changes won't restore endangered Atlantic salmon, and they plan to challenge the study by the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, or FERC, says John Burrows from the Atlantic Salmon Federation.
FERC has really ignored the public, the state of Maine, even federal natural resource agencies, who have all pointed out that maintaining all four of these dams and just relying on technical fishways and fish passage is not going to be enough.
Brookfield is trying to relicense the Chaumont Dam and amend permits for three other dams between Waterville and Skowhegan. The company says the review carefully balances public, economic, energy, and natural resource interests. And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. Coming up on Maine Calling at 11 tomorrow morning, Young Inventors. I'm Ari Snyder. Thanks for listening.